Who winning that? All right, guys, I got you all on camera right now, and I'm taking this down right here. Okay, Ryan, I don't see a tie. Jeremy, I don't see a tie. I'm not wearing a tie. It doesn't matter because you know why? You're all getting benched. You're benched. Look, no ties here. You're getting benched. Benched, 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 benched. None of you are free of sin.
Y'all giving us the Cam Newton treatment?
The drill, the Ron Drillvera treatment, more like it. Hi, everyone. This is PODcast, Pride of Detroit podcast for your Detroit Lions. PrideofDetroit.com, at Pride of Detroit on Twitter. Just having a little fun here. We are in a very light mood today. Speaking of that, just going to do this in front of the microphone. Cold and crispy. And it's all fun here. I'm Chris Lemieux at Detroit Southern. I'm not the most lit person here right now. That belongs to not Jeremy Reisman, fearless leader at Detroit Online, who is also here from Florida. How are you doing, Jeremy?
I'm doing okay, Chris.
Am I stuttering that much already? We're not going to make this through this podcast.
No, we aren't.
The reason is... Member number three, Ryan Matthews at Ryan_POD. Back is the motherfucking rock guy. Who is not speaking right now because he is chugging a Presidente beer. And I'm pretty sure it's his like fifth.
Six, baby.
Let's just say he's had more beers than the Lions have losses.
That is a guarantee. that is a guarantee.
Ryan, where are you coming to us from right now?
A very balmy Dominican Republic, Punta Cana to be exact.
That's right. You just got back from the sportsbook, wasting your money betting, I believe, the Grizzlies on... Well, you had a parlay.
Stop. Grizzlies are down three. We're fine. Don't worry about it.
Ryan doesn't bet.
I've never bet a day in my life.
We also found out that apparently sportsbooks in Punta Cana, just by sheer coincidence, sportsbooks in Punta Cana do not let you bet game totals on NFL games.
Not me. Somebody told me in the lobby.
Oh, wow. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So you have been having fun. You went out to Hibachi. What were you drinking getting Hibachi?
None other than Chris Lemieux's recipe for Honolulu Blue Kool-Aid, which all of you should drink.
It's you got handed gin. The recipe to the waiter.
I wrote it down on a napkin because my Espanol is not so great, and they really do they do their damnedest to try to understand what you're trying to tell them. And I was trying to communicate to him that I wanted all of these ingredients in one glass, and he just wasn't getting it, so I wrote it down for him, and they came back, and it was a blue drink, and I drank it.
So did they get in the Mad Dog or Hypnotic or something, or you just decide not to?
No fortified wine in this one, but you know what is fortified? The Detroit Lions.
The Detroit Boom. Lions. It sounds, by the way... None of us have been down to New Orleans, but it sounds like we have been in many regards, especially Ryan, although he's in, again, like, he's just, he's living a very blessed life right now. But let's talk about the Detroit Lions. Let's talk about the beatdown in New Orleans, and I think I should open this up with shout out to what I'm calling Road Squad, Road Team, showing up in force there. We heard Let's Go Lions on Fox Sports, and we saw y'all in the crowd, too. So, you showed up.
A lot of Lions fans. A lot of Lions fans in New Orleans.
As someone who's been to a handful of Lions games on the road, we travel pretty well. I'm not going to lie. I'm for the franchise that we are, I'm impressed with it.
Is that Michigan diaspora, really? It's why there's, like, Red Wings fans in every town.
Yeah, Wings fans travel better than anyone. But, yeah, I'm head over heels over this fan base right now. I'm head over heels over this team right now. I need to take deep breaths because I get too excited sometimes because I don't want... Because every Lions fan has this in them. They don't want to get too excited. They don't want to get their hopes too high. But damn it, this is fun right now. This is a lot of fun.
So much fun.
This is really fun. First off, before, while we're still thinking of fun, can we please give some props to, I'm scrolling back through our timeline. I'm desperately trying to find this man and his friend. Victor Randazzo, at Victor Randazzo on Twitter. He and his buddy sent us a video of the two dancing to Africa that I believe y'all should be seeing. I really wish Vine was still around because it would have made for an amazing Vine.
I quote tweeted it and I said, yes, 1,000% yes. It's the best thing that I saw on Sunday.
Well, that and the Lions Twitter account just going LOL to all of the ESPN guys picking the Saints.
And you putting Crying Jordan over all the experts' faces.
Yeah, Ebron retweeted that. That was fun.
Humble brag.
But I mean, let's be honest. You and I, Chris, we picked the Saints.
I didn't. I took the Saints -6 in my picks.
Yeah.
I could have seen a lot of different. I will say, even though I bet against them, I could have seen the Lions winning that game, but I could not have seen them winning in that fashion.
Absolutely not.
That is the one scenario that was not in my mind. Losing close, losing hard, winning close. Not you are holding Drew Brees for the first time at home in over, 60 games without a touchdown? That I can't see.
An absolutely dominant performance on the road. The Lions had the ball for
almost 37 minutes. You are winning a game with that kind of possession.
It was incredible. Can we say that this was the most complete performance by the team as a whole all season long?
No question.
Wire to wire, too. Like, we've talked about how misaligned this team has been in the third quarter. They have been ass in the third quarter. I want to call it the third quarter for a while. But you know what? They still managed to put up points and deny points to the Saints.
Yeah, I don't know if there's a bad thing you can take away from this game, to be honest, because everyone performed above expectations. The worst thing you could say about this performance is that they didn't perform in the red zone, which, sure, that's an issue. I think it wouldn't have been as much of an issue with Marvin Jones, I should say. I think the Saints focused their efforts on Anquan Boldin in the red zone, and it kind of showed. But I don't care. I don't care right now.
And as disappointed as you want to be about the Lions not coming away with touchdowns in the red zone, they still got field goals. They still got points. Like you were saying, Chris, the third quarter was, you know, for large in part, the entire season has been the third quarter where the Lions have just been god-awful. They still went 6-0. You know, they held their stand. In the third
wire
quarter.
To wire, yeah. Wire to wire.
They punted twice in that game, and that second punt came way late in the game where they probably wouldn't have punted if it was at any other point in the game.
Well, if it was close, they would have went for it for sure.
Yeah, and by the way, I know we're kind of saying they didn't have many touchdowns, but I mean, the ones they had, like, first off, you had an incredibly efficient drive that ended with Anquan Boldin. I mean, I'm sorry, Theo Riddick punching it in. After, was it Jones or was it Boldin with that long pass?
That was a Golden Tate pass down the sidelines.
That was Golden Tate. And then Golden Tate, again, you expect them to be covering him. You expect them to be just bullying Golden Tate because you don't have to worry about Marvin Jones. And instead, he's like wide open on the second touchdown.
66-yard touchdown.
Across the field.
How about that pass from Matthew Stafford? Like, he was getting belted when he let that one go.
Oh my God.
Yeah, man.
The Saints were bringing like seven guys, eight guys, and he was just facing pressure and he was like, look, I'm going to take the hit, but this ball's going to be money to Golden Tate. And it ended up being a touchdown. And man, what else can you say about Matthew Stafford? We'll get into it later, but man,
we will.
I was so happy to see him so happy after that touchdown too. We haven't really seen Matthew Stafford celebrate like that in a while.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
We've only seen angry Stafford. Now he's starting to feel it. Now he's starting to, like, really realize he could be playing into January right now.
Might have been all the Sudafed or whatever the hell he was on he was flu game. Stafford, flu game.
No, I don't. I'm not buying into that. That's like the one thing. He downplayed it. It's not the chicken soup game. It's not the flu Jordan game. It's, but you know what? It's still really good. And again, I mean, I'm going through all of this right now, and I'm just, once again, I'm taking away is that this was a result I don't think anyone saw, and I think it finally shocked some sense into a lot of people to finally start treating the Lions seriously in many ways.
Yeah, because, I mean, the Lions were, they'd won 6 out of 7 going into this game, but I still had 2 major questions for this team, and they were, first, is this passing offense going to rebound now that they're not facing the murderer's row of pass defenses?
And without Marvin Jones.
And without Marvin Jones.
Can't forget that.
And then secondly, is this defense really any good, or are they just playing terrible offenses through these, you know, 7-8 game stretch? I thought the answer to both of those were no. I thought they were phonies, to be honest.
Well, I'm going to be cautious just because it's only been one game.
That's true. That's
and
a fair point.
To be honest, like, we talk about how powered the New Orleans Saints offense was, but they struggled for a long time too before that Rams game. But you thought Sean Payton taking over, okay, they'll at least, like, you know, but they're playing in their own building. They're playing against a defense that's as misaligned as this. Drew Brees did not take a lot of shots downfield. When he did, he was starting to make stuff happen. But for whatever reason, the Saints did not take those risks. They did not really target downfield that much. They didn't go after Brandon Cooks or Michael Thomas. They tried to do what the Lions do, which is, you know, short pass game. They had a decent run game with Mark Ingram, at least at the start before he got banged up. And, you know, hey, I can understand why they don't go to that deep pass game, because what he had, not counting the Killebrew interception, he had 2 interceptions. Drew Brees had 2 interceptions outside of garbage time here. 1 to Glover Quinn, 1 to Devin, 1 to
Tavon Wilson.
Tavon Wilson, thank you, thank you. And yeah, they were both, the Glover Quinn one was most egregious. But at the same time too, I mean, man, you saw some of those shots he was taking late in the game. You just wonder if he decided to take those shots earlier in the game, the Lions would have a much tougher time. But he didn't, for whatever reason.
You know, the Saints, their offense at home has been money. I mean, they lost the first game. They put up 34 on the Raiders. They put up 32 on the Falcons. They put 41 on the Panthers. I mean, this is a team that has scored in bunches. I mean, last week against the Rams, they put up a 49 burger. Like, and that's supposed to be a pretty talented, you know, Rams defense. You know, led by maybe the best defensive player in all of football, Aaron Donald. I think that you have to give at least a shred of credit to Terrell Austin, because, I mean, this was a man who was having so many problems finding a way to either generate pressure or to, you know, put together a defensive scheme that would keep teams from scoring points. And, hey, the Saints made mistakes. That cannot be refuted. You know, on the very first drive, that snap that went awry, like, trust me, the Lions had some good luck on defense. But with that being said, I thought Terrell Austin game planned a hell of a game. It seemed like the only time that the Saints were moving the ball and getting yardage and eventually getting points was when, you know, the Lions were kind of getting into prevent defense in a way. At the end of the first half, you know, some other spots here and there. But I thought they played a hell of a game. They were down there, starting middle linebacker, no Levy still. Quandre Diggs was out, you know, after the third quarter, and we'll get into that later. But, you know, I think that you have to give a lot of credit to the defense, and trust me, I'm right there with Jeremy. I thought that they were phonies. I thought that they played some pretty bad offenses, you know, in recent memory, the Vikings and the Jaguars. But this Saints offense is for real, and they're the second in the league in scoring points. So
all you have to do is go back to the First Bite podcast, because I'm not trying to throw the guy under the bus. I don't remember his name, but he said he'd be shocked if the Saints didn't score 30 points. And to be honest, you guys probably didn't bat an eye when he said that. I didn't bat an eye when he said that. I thought the Saints were going to score 30 points.
The total was like 10 points higher than any other game of the week.
Yeah.
That's what this, in going into the game total was like 53, 55 or something, maybe higher, I can't remember. But as a way to close out this segment, I do want to talk about one more thing, and it's where we started, which was three letters, LOL. And we need to talk about all the people who got it wrong. And just put the names out there right now, because it's funny. It's funny. Let's talk about
it's
how
funny
many
how.
People...
He's a big boy. He knows what he said. What'd you say?
You're right.
Funny how? What?
Just, you're funny.
You mean, so? Well, let me understand this, because maybe it's me. I'm a little fucked up, maybe. But I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown. I amuse you. I make you laugh. I'm here to fucking amuse you. What do you mean funny? Funny how? How am I funny?
Okay, let's start with CBS, shall we? Pete Prisco, wrong. Jason Lockenfora. We shouldn't say anything bad about him. We're supposed to keep his name out of our mouths.
Keep your name off his lips.
Wrong. Will Brinson, wrong. Jared Dublin, wrong. Ryan Wilson, wrong. John Breach, wrong. Dave Richards, wrong. Jamie Eisenberg,
wrong, 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 wrong. Wrong, 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 wrong.
Now we're on to the ESPN picks, and I don't have his first name, and if I say it, it might be Bruce, and I don't think it's Bruce Bowen. Bowen, wrong. Kaplan, wrong. Mike Golick, dead-ass wrong. Graziano, wrong. Hodge, wrong. Jaws, wrong. Joyner, wrong. Seifert, wrong. Wickersham, wrong. The Pick'em, wrong. And now we move on to the SB Nation. Stephen White, wrong. Thomas George, wrong. Told y'all we're hitting up everyone. It includes some friendly fire here. Adam Stites, wrong. Louis Bien, wrong. And I feel bad about that because I like Louis. He's a cool guy.
He's also a Lions fan.
He's also a Lions fan, yes. And he bet against them. And I'm wrong, by the way, too, as full disclosure.
So am I.
Yeah, a lot of us are wrong.
Lemieux, wrong. Reisman, wrong.
Yeah, Joel Thorman, wrong. Fuch, wrong. Odd Shark, wrong. Gina Thomas, SB Nation, right. Ryan Van Bibber, right. So two people from SB Nation, that's it.
Ryan Matthews, Pride of Detroit, right.
Plus, you're Pride of Detroit.
I don't count?
No, we're proles.
Pride of Detroit on paper champion of the previous week? I don't get any credit for this? This is bullshit.
Have another Presidente.
Someone could say Ryan is rolling right now.
I'm ready to go.
Ready to go. You know, we're ready to go. We're ready to go into the next segment. We're going to be talking more about this game. We're going to be talking about the defense and what happens now. 8-4. I don't know what's going to happen, guys. I'm really freaking out here. I really
this
am.
Why, this is why you host the goddamn show. Great ass segues.
Oh my God, continuing along here on the Pride of Detroit podcast, I've lost, there's Ryan, okay, Ryan is still here, but he's cracked another Presidente. I don't know how much longer we're going to have him on the line. He's being neurotic about the teams that he totally 100% did not lay a parlay on.
I'm ordering room service.
This is going to turn into...
What a blessed trip, man. I wish I was on this trip.
This is going to turn...
This is day one.
This is going to turn into a David Hasselhoff eating a cheeseburger podcast.
Oh, God. Oh, my God. I wish I could say this is the most fun we're going to have, but we have some plans in the works just in case this goes all the way. And Jeremy Reisman, I mean, holy shit. I don't know how it can't at this point. How it can't. And like 538, I believe, has them at what, an 81% chance to make the take the division?
I haven't even looked. I don't want to look. I'm too afraid.
Can't believe in it. Can't look at numbers. Numbers don't make sense. The Packers still exist. Oh, my God.
Anytime I mention 538 from, like, the official Pride of Detroit Twitter, everyone's like, yeah, well, how were they on that election?
But here we are, man. 8-4. This win was really big, too, because, as we said, the Packers are there. I now officially fear the Packers coming for us more than the Vikings.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's no question that if you want to go statistically, two wins from the Lions and the Vikings are done. They're out. That's not true for the Packers. The Lions need to win three times if the Packers are going to win out. So
I don't think they will, but...
I don't either. I think... I mean, I don't want to jinx it, but this week is going to be huge. If the Lions beat the Bears and the Packers lose to the Seahawks, the Lions' magic number is one with three games left.
Dave Burkett, by the way, might have just done the biggest jinx because someone was saying that, you know, hey, what if they flex the New Year's Day game between Packers and Lions? And Burkett was like, I don't think it's going to matter at that point.
Oh, Dave. All right. This is 100% the most important non-Lions game of the season, without a doubt, right? Seattle, Green Bay.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about this for a while because...
Well, before we do that... Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Actually, you know what? No, go ahead. We'll get to the injury in a little bit.
Okay. This is kind of an internal debate that Lions fans have gotten into today, Monday after the win, because, you know, everyone is high in the sky, rainbow sunshines, blowjobs, everything.
What are your victory parties like?
They're pretty good. So there's a small but loud contingent of fans out there that are actually rooting for the Packers to win this game because they want that two seed. They want that bye week in the first round of the playoffs. Are any of you buying that the Lions have a real shot at a bye week and it's worth putting a Packers win, you know, risking a Packers win this week?
I find this entire conversation, you've hit my logic wall, though, because that is, once again, that's not something we have power over, right? That's not something anyone has power over except for the Packers and the Seahawks.
Of course not, but when you're watching the game, who are you going to... It doesn't make sense to you to root for the Packers.
Root for whoever's going to win it, I guess. I would much rather have those assholes out of the running of the division. I'd rather have the division because I could see the Seahawks later on tripping up somewhere down the road.
But the argument here is that the Lions have the division. Let's go for that two seed.
I don't know, man, because if the Packers win, like... You need to figure out a way to beat the Giants in their place. And you have to take care of the Packers.
Yep.
That's suddenly, like, I think this last stretch, 500 is doable. 750, that's going to be a harder road to walk.
All right, Ryan is fidgeting like a crazy person. Let's hear what you got to say.
Plead a fifth. Look.
God damn, man.
The Giants lost last week to the Steelers. They're going to go 8-8. I said this before, I'll say it again. They're going to go 8-8. I'm not worried about the Giants. With the Giants being out of the... I think the Giants are going to be out of the playoff race. They're not going to be in the playoff race. And I think with Washington losing, they have an uphill battle. So now, like, the NFC East, it's not a guarantee that they're going to have, you know, at least one representative in the wild card. I don't think it's a guarantee.
Well, I mean, even if they're out of it, though, they can still fight us.
No, that's true. But, I'm just saying that there is some credence to the people who want the Packers to beat the Seahawks, because the idea that the Lions could, you know, beat the Bears is pretty probable. We'll get into that later, I'm sure, a little bit. I mean, we have first bite later on in the week.
So wait, is your argument then, even if we don't win the division, we could still get a wild card, so who cares? I'm not sure, what does the NFC East have to do with that?
What I'm saying about the NFC East is that the Lions could still find a back way into the playoffs, even if the Packers end up winning the division.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, and I don't want to say that we should throw all of our eggs in one basket and just, you know, root for the Packers this week, and that, you know, just be happy that one of those teams is going to hopefully lose, because it's the year of the tie. I mean, if these guys end up tying, that I don't. That's going to throw it into a tailspin. That's going to screw up score bugs and the standings for the rest of the year, and it's going to make Ryan an unhappy person.
You hate the score bug. Every time you have to look at the Fox score bug, you have been like unreasonably
Washington
mad.
Versus Arizona, both those teams had ties this year, and they did not play each other, and that was making me mad. There were so many numbers on that goddamn score bug.
Well, to get this back to the Lions, I agree with you that the Lions still have a pretty good chance at the wild card, because this was a very bad week for the NFC.
Yeah.
I think 10-6 gets the Lions into the playoffs no matter what the Packers do. I also agree with you that I think the Giants are probably on their way out. That means the Bucks are probably in. Who's that second wild card team then? Because if the Lions get to 10-6, that means the Cardinals can't catch them. They're 5-6-1. It means the Vikings can't catch them. They can only be 10-6, and obviously the Lions have the tiebreaker over them.
Yep.
And we've already, you know, this is a scenario where Green Bay beats them, so whatever. So then you got Washington. They're 6-5-1. They can't lose another game. You got Tampa Bay, 7-5. Let's give them the other. Let's give them a wild card spot. And then you have the Giants, 8-4-0. And
they're going to go 8-8. So
they might go 8-8. And if the Lions beat them, they're going to have the tiebreaker over them. I think 10-6 gets them in, and I think they're going to reach 10 wins in 2 weeks.
And 10-6 gets them in, and there's an outside chance, at least an outside chance, that 9-7 could even get them in. So if the Lions beat the Bears this week, you at least have an outside chance, given that you get help. But you're going to beat the Giants anyways, because they're going to go 8-8. Well,
that's the thing. If 9-7 gets them in, it's going to have to be a win over the Giants. Going back to that original question, you're rooting against the Packers. I'm sorry.
Yeah. First, no, fuck the Packers.
No, I totally agree with you. At the end of the day, you want to see the Packers buried, and as Andrew Cotto from our beautiful website pointed out, you want to see them buried and, you know, just draped in cement, and you want to see them just out of the picture completely. I agree with that.
I want to believe in Dave Burkett being right. Because I share his sentiment. You do not want New Year's Day. Remember a few podcasts ago, I was terrified of New Year's Day. I don't want it to matter.
Hey, this team has been very good at Ford Field, though. Very good. Almost damn near perfect. And
Haven't lost since the Titans game at home.
And I don't want to put anything on the referees, but that Titans game really should not have been as close as it should have been.
Total fucking shit show, I agree.
It was very bad, and I will never put anything on the referees. The Lions had plenty of opportunities to win that game regardless of the officiating.
This is also not that Lions team that played the Titans.
No, this team is completely different because next week they're going to have DeAndre Levy back. Let Jeremy Rice can tell you about that.
Oh my God. How many weeks have we been doing this shit on DeAndre Levy? We're jinxing him now, man. All right. I want to move on to one more topic. Before we do, though, I do want to point out some news today. Unfortunately for the defense, Quandre Diggs, he tore his pectoral on Sunday. He is out for the season.
It's still a report. Let's just put it out there. Not official yet.
It's okay.
The Lions haven't made a move. I think I read something in the Free Press saying they're exploring other options, but I think it's fair to say he's going to be gone. And then it's kind of a bummer because a lot of people immediately were like, "Whoa, this is Jonathan Banks' opportunity." But the Lions released him on Saturday, and the Bears claimed him up today. So Jonathan Banks is no longer a Detroit Lion. Not going to be an option to fill out Quandre Diggs' spot.
How big would losing Diggs be?
I think it's huge, personally, because I think that there isn't... Look, the outside cornerbacks get a lot of press, they get a lot of pub, and they are an important position. Trust me, if you can put a receiver on an island with an incredible corner on the outside, it changes the game. But with that being said, slot corners are some of the most incredible athletes in all of the NFL. I mean, you look at Tyrann Mathieu with the Cardinals. Those guys are a special breed. And Quandre Diggs, he's a hell of an athlete. And to lose him, it's a big blow. And I honestly, looking at the roster right now, Jeremy, I'll pass this off to you, but do you see anybody on the roster right now being able to pick up for, you know, the loss of Quandre Diggs?
Well, the question is how they want to attack it. They played Adarius Barnes for most of the second half
But is he a guy who could step in and automatically be a substitute? Would you feel comfortable relying on you know, Barnes?
Maybe. I mean, Diggs hasn't been playing great, so I don't think it's a huge step down with Barnes. But the other option is just go full-on safety, 3 safety looks, 4 safety looks, and they did it a lot against the Saints. I wouldn't be surprised to see them do it more.
And, I mean, we've seen Killebrew step it up, too, right? Like, they've been playing him on third down. Maybe they'll kind of play him a little more.
But, he got a lot more against the Saints, yeah. So.
He did. He absolutely did. So that's good, and that's another chip paying off for Bob Quinn from that draft class. But this brings us around to, so from Bob Quinn and his drafting and what we can do to replace Quandre Diggs right now if this report holds on, to the big man himself in the big dog chair telling you one thing.
Check the injury report.
Jim Caldwell. Now, even when I was doing the Facebook Live post-game show for this game, I had people saying that the Lions were winning in spite of Jim Caldwell, not because of him. And I firmly believe those people are delusional and they have lost. The Fire Caldwell crowd has lost across the board. Completely. Completely. Unless the Lions collapse, like, Jim Caldwell, I believe now, is your 2017 Detroit Lions head coach.
He has to be, right?
This was a complete game out of him, too. Just on coaching. Like, what can you find? Like, the people saying they're winning in spite of him, not because of him, please point to me any instance during the Saints game that was bad that was coaching, that was harming the Lions. Tell me what it was. I can wait, and I will wait.
He put away that challenge flag, which he shouldn't have thrown. He had it out, and he was at least entertaining the thought of it, and he put it away.
I mean, I didn't like the field goal, but at that point, too, the game was pretty well locked up, too, right? Like, that's an incredibly minor quibble to me, what happened on fourth down. And yeah, you're right, he didn't challenge it. He didn't waste his challenge on that.
Here's the thing you got to realize. This is Caldwell's third year. In his first year, he took the team to 11 wins, which is, I believe, the fourth highest total in franchise history. In his third year, he might bring the team a division title for the first time in 23 years. So 2 years were not just successful years. They were wildly successful years in the whole scope of this franchise. There's no way you could get rid of that, even if you have a new general manager. It's insane. And
Jim Caldwell has a... this is from Zack Snyder, who runs Detroit Jock City, one of our friends there, Zack Snyder. Not the director, Zack Snyder. He got a lot of hate mail for that. Jim Caldwell's .591 winning percentage is fourth best for Lions coaches all time and highest since Buddy Parker, who was the coach 1951-1956. We're talking about going back 60 years to find a winning a record as good as Jim Caldwell's. That's not winning in spite of the coach.
I mean, the easy argument against all this, though, is you're comparing it to Lions history. Let's compare it to the rest of the NFL. And I get that.
Dude, that's the 50s Lions. They were a juggernaut in the
50s. Hey, you want to compare it to the rest of the NFL, though, Jeremy? You just laid it out. 11-5 the first year, 7-9, battled back from a bad first half start to finishing good against the second half with a new offensive coordinator. And now they're set up to maybe win the division. What about Jim Caldwell says that he should not be the Lions coach next year? I don't think you can make a case that says he should not be.
Look, and I understand, like, the defense has started the year slow, and I still have questions about the defense moving forward. I absolutely do. And the offense apparently seems to have some trouble working in the red zone, but I firmly believe that's more on the coordinators than on Jim Caldwell, and those are still things that can be fixed as we get closer and closer to the playoffs. Like, there's nothing you can do to critique Caldwell right now other than he's just surly with the press, and he just does not share injury news. That's it. Those are incredibly minor quibbles. Like, what about him is still making people mad at him? I don't get it.
I legitimately think that the DeAndre Levy thing is one huge sticking point with fans. I really do, because what else can you point to objectively and say that Jim Caldwell has done a bad job at?
I mean, the biggest quibble I've always had from him is his in-game decisions and not quite being an aggressive enough coach. And that hasn't been an issue.
And this year it's been a 180, right? This year has been a 180.
And to be honest, you cannot point to many coaches in the NFL who have not had their share of mind-boggling decisions. It comes with the profession. There is no coach, I mean, and even Bill Belichick is not invincible against the decision, because sometimes, no matter what decision you're making, sometimes it just goes wrong, right?
You're never going to be perfect, and the truth is, like, you look at the statistics. That first year, I thought it was kind of a fluke when it said that Jim Caldwell was one of the most aggressive coaches on fourth down. And while I still think there was some reasons for him to do that because of, like, field goal problems, all that sort of stuff, it's kind of held true his 3 years here. There are points here and there where I'm going to contend, but there are points with that, like you said, every single coach that kind of has that issue, and Caldwell's fallen on the aggressive side of the spectrum.
And does he not recognize that this offense is the strength of the team?
Yes, he does.
And that's why he errs on the side of caution, and he will go for it on fourth down when it is called for.
And his most controversial decision that he made this entire season, I happen to be on his side for, and it was that onside kick with 3 minutes left.
100%. I'm on it. The Houston Texans game? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely, and to me, he was proven right because the defense didn't get the ball back.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, it's just people who still can't let it go that they didn't want Caldwell to begin with.
And I was one of those people. I'm turned around. I will eat crow all day because I was wrong.
I've been just preaching about Caldwell since he came to Detroit. It's like, look, man, this guy, like, he just hasn't had a good enough shot yet. He was vilified for just down years in Indianapolis, which, I mean, it's Indianapolis. It's a fucking dumpster fire. Granted, we could be saying this, I mean, in glass houses, sure.
It was a dumpster fire lifted up by Peyton Manning, and then once you take out the knees of Peyton Manning, or the neck of Peyton Manning,
Well,
it all comes crumbling down.
I honestly believe, like, you know, again, like, between that experience and then being, like, the offensive coordinator for the Ravens, I believe that's enough to say this guy deserves more than 2-3 seasons and out the door.
That's just the abrasiveness of, you know, the NFL coaching position. I mean, it's a turnstile when it comes to, you know, who's in charge. And I don't know.
It doesn't have to be, right?
It does not have to be. And I think a lot of people who are already off the Caldwell bandwagon were off of it as soon as the Lions lost that playoff game against the Cowboys. And that's entirely unfair. Entirely unfair.
I held a grudge for a long time.
I think a lot of it, too, is trying to eyeball the newest and latest model in a Patriots coordinator that is 100% totally not going to let you down and just completely fuck over your franchise for the next 5 years. Matt Patricia's totally not going to do that.
This is the thing. The same people who want Caldwell gone are the same people who say, I want to see 16 games from Matthew Stafford that prove to me that he deserves a contract extension. Believe me. You want the devil, you know, and god damn is Matthew Stafford the devil that I want on my team. But with that being said, you want Jim Caldwell here and you want Matthew Stafford here because it is working. And if you want anything other than that, get bent. I swear to God.
You want me on that wall. You need me on that wall.
Let's take a quick break here. Come back. Have some more fun stuff. And mailbag's coming up, but we got to get to some more stuff, too. I think in lieu of Wally's World, we might just be talking about Ryan and Punta Cana. We do have one coming from the incredibly lit Ryan Matthews, now on, I believe, his fifth beer and six, seven,
eight.
Eighth. And we just heard him order room service, and I won't sell him out because Alex will get really mad at us if we say what he ordered.
Is it my turn to go?
Yes.
Hit us.
Go.
The floor is mine.
Rage corner. Give me your rage. You're mad.
Look, the conch shell.
I'm pretty upset about the announcers the Lions have drawn in recent memory. And in particular, this past week, Chris Myers and Rondé Barber. Look, I wasn't the biggest fan of Rondé Barber. He was fine to me. To be honest, I would rather prefer him over Chris Spielman. But in light of what happened last week, oh my God, if we ever get Rondé Barber ever again, I'm going to pull my hair out individually one by one and send it to him via fan mail. This is ridiculous. These guys are maybe the worst Fox broadcast that you could get. Chris Myers has no idea what he's doing on a Fox broadcast. He is calling things in an effort to make himself seem like something surprising happened. Like, oh, I think he might be short of the first down when he's clearly 2 or 3 yards ahead of it. Listen, Chris Myers, you do not need to make yourself interesting by selling short the ability of the players on the field. I'm sick of your shit. Quit doing broadcasting. Chris Myers has a very punchable face. I'm taking this from Chris Lemieux, who thinks Eli Manning has a very dumb face that you can punch. Chris Myers, you're of the same breed.
Such a stupid face.
Thank you, Chris. Look, at the end of the day, I just hope that the Lions get any other broadcasting team other than Chris Myers and Rondé Barber.
Would you take... Okay, let me give you this. Would you take Marv Albert's fail son, Kenny?
Yes.
Over... You would take Kenny...
Yes.
Okay, stop leaning into the microphone. It's Phil very Sims. Loud.
Well, why do you do that?
No, you mean Jim Nance? Well, yeah, Phil Sims, because it would come with Jim Nance. Yeah, yeah.
It's just too much entirely. And then at the end of the game, when the Saints were driving and the game was well out of hand, there was 30 seconds left, the Saints were down by 15 points, they couldn't have come back. Chris Myers is like, oh, the Saints are trying to put points on the board. You know, you don't know what it comes down to getting in the playoffs. Does this guy understand how playoff tiebreakers work? Like, what is Chris Myers doing on a broadcast? Why is he spewing this shit that he doesn't know what he's talking about? Like, get off the air, dude. Take your L. Get out. We don't need you. Presidente, how you doing?
God.
I was just going to say, this week against the Bears, it weirdly got flexed to CBS because of some weird thing.
Oh, God damn, I'm not going to be able to watch it on television. Because I live in Toledo, that means the Browns
Chris,
are
come on
take
up.
Precedent.
Come on up. I'll be home. Come on up.
Okay.
And come watch it with Wally, and we'll have a good time.
Sure, sure. Yeah. I'll be able to record Wally firsthand. Yeah, I like this.
The announcers. I've never even heard of these guys. Spiro Dedes, yes. And Solomon Wilcots.
Sounds better. Sounds better than Chris Myers and Rondé Barber.
Like that. Those sound like those sounds like witness protection names.
Oh yeah.
Do we have any other rage corners here? Because that was...
I'm full of love right now, man. This team's 8-4. We about to win a division.
Let me be clear. I got nothing but love for this NFL football franchise, okay? The Lions are my favorite team. This 2016 NFL Detroit football franchise Lions are my favorite team of all time.
This team might even make a fan out of Chris Lemieux.
Shut the fuck up. Damn it. Look, we try as hard as we can to keep this, like, impartial on Pride to Detroit. We are not, like, guzzling our own Kool-Aid. I've learned this about the 5-question series. Like, some of the other sites, they are guzzling their Kool-Aid pretty liberally when talking about some of their players. But, I mean, we're not the type of site to do that. But we are going to celebrate the good times because holy shit, we don't get many. We have not had many of them. And I think the reason why, again, the Lions are getting. Okay, just going back to Fox for a second, like Jimmy Johnson, I think like none of those guys, because once again, I gave you the Rolodex of people who just did not believe in the Detroit Lions, right? Like even on the broadcast crew, even on the broadcast, like, they were all picking the Saints, and for good reason. And, you know, look, even though we were getting some Matt Stafford MVP talk, it wasn't in the sense that, hey, the Lions, that people thought the Lions were going to be this. But at 8-4, man, like, finally, I'm seeing people believe. Like, Jimmy Johnson flipped out and is like, I believe now in the Detroit Lions.
Hell yeah.
I mean,
and then NBC, same thing. Like,
Tony Dungy on Sunday Night Football.
Tony Dungy. Like, I mean, look, and of course, things can go south. Things always go south in this league. But, I mean, my God, you're finally getting some people, like, actually taking this team seriously, which is a new feeling.
This is the thing, though. Things go south, but this week we get to play the Bears, and hashtag we own the Bears!
Except for we own the Bears!
Except for week four.
No.
It's Matt Barkley. We are not pulling a Matt Flynn on Matt Barkley.
No, we shouldn't.
I just saw them, they put up 26 against, well, it was against the 49ers, but still. It's in Ford Field.
That's right. Hey. We feel good about this.
Hold up them threes.
We better not fucking lose this game, man.
Third down. Threes.
Blair Walsh. Threes.
We better not fucking lose this game. I will be off this entire wagon if we lose to the Bears. Which we're not. It's not going to happen, though. Because we own the Bears. Do we have a Wally's World at all? Or no? We good?
I can't remember what I did 3 hours ago from Pujicana, so I don't know what Wally did.
How about this? Hold on. Okay, in place of a Wally's World, we're just going to find out more about Ryan's trip down in Punta Cana. I feel like this probably needs its own music or something.
Look, I got on a plane at 6:30 in the morning that went to Charlotte, and because Chris Lemieux said, hey, you'd much rather fly into Charlotte than Atlanta's shit show of an airport, and he's 100% right.
I have experience, yeah. 5 years of experience.
No offense to Calvin Johnson, who's obviously listening. No offense, Calvin.
I'm sure Megatron would agree ATL is a giant fucking shit show.
CTL is a very nice airport, and look, I had a fine time in my layover there. I accidentally downloaded the final 5 episodes of Atlanta rather than the first 5 episodes of Atlanta, and that's, I guess, on me, but iTunes is a misleading whore. But beyond that, Punta Cana has been incredible. I mean, we got here, we sat on a bus that was supposed to take us back to our resort for about 40 minutes, and a guy was selling Presidente beers out of a garbage bag. I'm not at liberty to say if I bought any, but look, Punta Cana is incredible, and if I win enough money on this NBA parlay, I will bring all of you guys down here.
You are breaking kayfabe.
Breaking kayfabe. I'll bring all of you guys down here. Even Alex Reno, as long as he has pizza. Can you bring pizza on a flight? I don't think so.
Speaking of flights, can we back up to your flight? Because I think there's video out there of you bumping a certain song without headphones for all of the airplane to hear.
Look at that. I thought I was going to get in trouble from American Airlines because you guys retweeted it, and I'm not sure which corners of the internet that I could get to. But during their safety training video, I was playing Africa on my phone and recording it and saying, I don't care about what happens in the event that this aircraft goes down. I'm flying high on Aaron on an 8-4 record.
Air Stafford,
playoffs,
baby.
I'm looking at a first week bye, maybe. Presidente, how you doing?
All right, I think we should wrap it up there.
I think we're ready for the mailbag.
Yeah, let's get to the mailbag. Mailbag time. It's
mailbag.
Our mailbag. I actually hate that show. I got to do a Rage Corner roasting those motherfuckers sometime.
Do you hate Wilbon?
Yes, I do hate Wilbon. He's a bloviating piece of shit who shits on us as bloggers.
And
he's a Chicago stan, too.
And he's a Northwestern asshole, too. I can't get into Northwestern. It's too expensive.
I've known Magic Johnson before he was Magic Johnson, so I call him Irvin.
Or knuckleheads. Just stupid. He's awful.
Anyway. Are you buying or selling on that show?
I'm
You're a jerk.
Okay, Jim Richels starts off the podcast with the mailbag with a bang. Why is Aaron Rodgers' face so punchable?
For the same reason that Chris Meyer's face is so punchable.
Actually,
you don't like
Underdog,
it.
Underdog did pitch the idea of a list cast with top 10 punchable faces in the NFL.
Wow. I mean, Chris Meyer's, I don't care if he's a player or not, he's definitely in the top 10.
I think my undisputed number one, we'll probably do this like formally during the offseason.
List cast.
My formal number one right now, I'm telling you, is Eli Manning.
Why is he so high? I hate him.
Dude, you don't remember? We were talking about this last night, about how much I do not like Eli Manning.
I don't remember last night.
Last night, you and I were talking about Eli Manning and how much I don't like his dumb fucking face.
Yeah. No, I get it. But, like, why is he so high? Like, Chris Myers doesn't even know what he's talking about. At least...
Manning doesn't know how to play football.
Hold on. So you're saying he lucked himself into two Super Bowls?
Yes.
Oh, come on, man. That's just not fair.
All right, next question.
Elite Eli.
Joseph R. Sweeney is power rank your favorite Christmas specials of all time. Once again, list cast material coming later on, but right now, like here we go. I want you guys to pick from one of these four that he gives us: Charlie Brown Christmas, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, the claymation one.
Nope.
Garfield Christmas.
Nope.
And How the Grinch Stole Christmas with Karloff, not Carrie.
Did he pick all animated? Was that the basis of the question? Because the number one undisputed is It's a Wonderful Life.
No.
I don't think that's considered a TV... He's going for, like, a TV...
No, that's always on NBC every single year. They play it for 24
special.
Hours.
Yeah,
it is a TV special, kind of,
movie.
In a way.
Whatever.
It's not a movie.
I excuse myself from this question because I'm Jewish. Hashtag not my holiday.
Yeah.
Hashtag New York Jews.
Oh, God. We could throw Jeremy under the bus with what he was saying yesterday.
Look at this hair. I can say whatever I want.
You can.
Oh, God. All right.
Okay.
Look.
No. Here's an ancillary question to that. Which is the best version of A Christmas Carol? Disney? Muppets? The really weird animated one? Or the old live one from what? Was it the 90s or 80s or something?
Give me Muppets anything.
No, he said, you're talking about A Christmas Carol with the
Scrooge.
The with what?
Tiny Tim? Is that
Tiny
where you're
Tim
going
Scrooge?
From?
Yeah.
Oh.
Stop drinking Presidencies and think of the question.
Feliz Navidad, buddy.
Prospero año y felicidad. I'm a big fan of A Year Without Santa Claus because I'm Mr. Heat Miser.
I'm Mr. Green Christmas. I'm Mr. Sun. I'm Mr. Heat Blister. I'm Mr. 101. They call me Heat Miser. I'm too much.
He's Mr. Green Christmas. He's Mr. Sun. He's Mr. Heat Blister. He's Mr. 101.
They call me Heat Miser. Whatever I touch starts to melt in my clutch.
He's too much.
Thank you.
That is my favorite. Forget everything else. Forget all the other Christmas music. That is my favorite Christmas tune right there. Mr. Heatmeister and Mr. What was his counterpart again? Snow Miser.
Snow Miser, yeah, from A Year Without Santa Claus. It's incredible. Yeah, yeah. That's probably my favorite Christmas special that's all like those, animated.
All those claymation specials, those are all probably, are they by like the same people or something? They have to be. But they're fantastic. They were part of my childhood.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's hard to be a Jew on Christmas. My friend won't let me join in any games.
John Stewart, can I interest you in Hanukkah? All right, I'm going to let Ryan do this next question. What do you got for us, buddy?
What's the score of the Bucks game?
You son of a bitch.
For those who don't know, he's talking about Bucks Spurs, and you can look after the fact. This is not a live medium. Let's see here. Sorry, I'm digging through here. Chris Kenny.
Here you go, buddy.
Chris Kenny. Chris Kenny asks, who is more famous, Casey Affleck or David Duchovny?
What? David Duchovny?
Duchovny. Sure.
From X-Files?
We know what Chris's answer is.
I don't even know who Casey Affleck is either.
Oh, my Lord.
Well, it's got to be David Duchovny, right? Like, X-Files, bro.
Well, I mean, he also had a renaissance with Californication, so I think you'd probably give it to... But would you give it to Duchovny? Because Casey Affleck has had a hell of a career in terms of film, but then again, he had the domestic violence suits, which is nothing new to NFL fans. I don't know.
I don't know
Chris,
anything about
Chris,
Casey
you're the
Affleck's
tiebreaker.
Career. I don't know who either of these people are.
Evolution? You ever see that movie?
No. Evolution is a mystery! WWE? Anybody?
Nope.
Ric Flair? Randy Orton? How you doing?
Eric Schmidt. Did you know Stafford played baseball with Clayton Kershaw?
What?
No, I didn't. Who was pitcher and who was catcher?
Stop the recording. I need to write a long article about this.
All right, next question. Elephant Trees. Now that Dancing with the Stars is done, will Calvin come back for the four-game home stretch?
Stop it, guys. Guys. I love you all. It's not happening. He's not. You guys realize you sound like the Patriots fans are like, oh, yeah, we're going to pick him up. Playoff run.
Speaking of which, ancillary question to that, do you make anything about Kyle Van Noy? Because I completely disregard people talking about Kyle Van Noy getting interceptions. One, he got an interception against Jared Goff. Two, who cares? He wasn't making that shit in Detroit anyway.
He was a bad pick from the start because he never fit our scheme. He wasn't going to work out in the current scheme we have. So good on him on finding somewhere where he can contribute.
Yeah, this isn't the Patriots got one over on the Lions. That's not what this is. Y'all can calm down a bit. Ryan's mad because I'm making him try to focus to finish this podcast.
You put him on the naughty spot over there.
I did.
I'm Mr. E-Miser.
Oh my God. Please stick around to hear the hidden track, please. I beg you.
It's going to be 30 minutes long.
J-Wings 40. He's got two questions I want to take. First question, as I live in a house where... these are on constantly Hallmark Channel Christmas movies, yay or nay. They typically range from well done to ironically enjoyable to bad.
On the Hallmark Channel? On the Hallmark Channel?
Yeah.
Turn it off, bro. Come on, bro. No. You can play something much better.
What part of I'm a Jew don't these people understand?
Second question from Jay Wings. Is Caldwell actually a good coach now?
Yes, he always has been.
Man, I hold fast to my belief is that you got to give him more chances of that. I think I said before, he does not have that many years of head coaching experience. Like, there are some worse coaches out there that get a lot longer. Like, say, someone who may or may not have been penned to an extension for a team that is not going 7-9 bullshit. For someone that's doing a lot worse this year. And he's continued to be there.
I'm not going to say we're lucky to have Caldwell, but I'm also not going to say he's hurting the team in any sort of way. I think head coaching stuff is a bit overrated. I think coordinators are where it's at, and I'm fine where we're at. So take that as your answer.
Okay, Vincent Vitale asks, what will the Lions' record be in the last four games?
I think it's going to be 2-2, and that's all they're going to need because they're going to rest their starters. last game of the season, because what better way to say F you to the Packers than to rest your starters? And if, holy crap, Jake Rudock beats the Packers, I'm going to be so goddamn happy.
Actually, I believe Jeremy...
Goddamn Pelicans, dude! Goddamn it!
Since the adults are still here, Jeremy, this is what you wanted to bring up. So... Actually, why don't you phrase it? Why don't you phrase it?
So we were having a discussion on Twitter about the Lions potentially getting a, you know, wrapping up the division early. Like I said, they could wrap it up as early as next week. If Lions win, Seahawks beat the Packers, then the Lions just need to win one more game. So let's say week 17, Lions are playing the Packers.
Let's say they win the next two. They say win the next two, Packers lose in Seattle.
So... we get to week 17. The game means essentially nothing. Let's say seeding has already been determined. The Packers aren't playing for anything. We're gonna have that discussion. One, do you rest your starters? Two, if you do rest your starters, who's gonna be the quarterback?
Ryan, would you like to join us for this conversation, or are you still mad?
No, I would put Dan Orlovsky in at quarterback.
Why?
Why wouldn't you?
Why would you?
What do you mean, why wouldn't you? No! You're trying to treat this like this is a Dallas situation, like they wouldn't play Tony Romo. Do not put Dan Orlovsky on the same level as Tony Romo. God damn it!
I don't know, but I would say whatever the answer is, it would probably tell us a lot about how they feel about Jake Rudock. I think Jake Rudock would get some playing time, if only because this might be the only chance he has to develop in an actual NFL game in probably his entire career, maybe. I don't know if he starts. I think Dan Orlovsky starts to kind of test out a few things, and then they just kind of hand it over to Jake Rudock in, like, I don't know, the third, like, the second half or something, and try to get some tape on him, right? Because I believe firmly, especially watching the Bears flounder around, that once again the Jake Rudock call-up was a fuck you to the Bears. And I can appreciate that.
No, it's not. Teams don't do that. They're doing that because they want Jake Rudock to be the backup of the future, so why not get him a couple reps? I mean, you could do like one half, and I'd be okay with that, but the only reason I can even think of to even think about putting Orlovsky in that game period is you want to make sure he's ready... in case Stafford goes down in the playoffs. But Stafford goes down in the playoffs, guess what? Your Super Bowl run is over. By the way, shout out to Ben Bruton for that question.
By the way, I've got to also shout out, while we're kind of digging through here, GV42, he says he predicted a 12-4 record a few weeks ago. I was accused of smoking the good stuff. How possible is it to run the table?
It's possible. Because, I mean, we were having that discussion
earlier.
It's all
about Dallas. It's all about Dallas.
Having the discussion earlier. The NFC East could fall apart. It could, like, it already is in the midst of falling apart. The Eagles are crap. The Redskins are in trouble. And the Giants, we all kind of agree, might be in free fall. So,
if I can say this about the Cowboys, too, don't forget they almost got beat by the Vikings.
That's true.
That's a tougher matchup for them, though, because it's a really good offense versus good defense.
Just, look, I don't give a fuck about the NFC East. All I'm saying, talking about, is in the context
I don't think Detroit matches up nearly as well against Dallas than Minnesota does.
All right, a few more questions here. We are coming down the home stretch on the mailbag. Let's see here. We got a couple that I think Ryan would like, and I see he just got his room service, so we're going to go as fast as we can. First off, from Nick Ola, if Stafford were a sandwich, what sandwich would he be? In parentheses, a hot dog does not count because a hot dog is not a sandwich.
First of all, a hot dog is a sandwich. Second of all, he would be something on sourdough bread because sourdough bread contains the best sandwiches. Man, what kind of sandwich would he... He'd be, like, something containing pastrami. I've never had a bad pastrami sandwich. Oh, my God. The Spurs are down three.
Pastrami's all right, but that's not Texas enough. I think it's a brisket sandwich.
That's fine with me. That'll work. And if you want to throw it on Texas toast, that's fine. Yeah, Memphis tied it up. It's 94-94 going into overtime.
I'm gonna say a corned beef sandwich, continuing with the Jew theme of this mailbag. And
on no, rye? No, well, do you like rye bread?
Well, here, let me finish.
Okay, I'll wait.
His first leg of his career, he was on rye bread. Then Jim Bob Cooter came around and put a couple layers of sourdough on that bitch, and now he's the greatest sandwich of all time.
Second food-related question here about Stafford from The Will to Win. If you could buy Mr. Stafford an alcoholic beverage, what would you give him and why?
Right, we're all waiting for your answer here. This is your
territory.
I would give him a nice glass full of Chris Lemieux's Honolulu Blue Kool-Aid because it has gotten me to the point where I am tonight, and that is a wonderful feeling.
It was all lined up for you to say an El Presidente because he's El Jefe. He is El Jefe right now.
El Jefe. I will take either.
He is the president-elect.
Hashtag my president.
My That's president.
My quarterback.
That's my president.
My president. That's my quarterback.
That's my presidente. TJ, how much should I expecting playoff tickets to be?
First playoff game in Ford Field, man.
Right, and especially, you know, with the first round bye and everything.
I will say, no matter what happens with the playoffs, stick around. We might have something interesting for you. So just keep that in mind. Okay, Taylor McDowell, what is the best song by Toto? Zencaster's rolling. Let's make sure we got levels, and I'm going to fire up. Don't do that, man.
I need one more Presidente.
You're not gonna make it to the end of the podcast.
That's ideal. So, did you piss or did you throw up? Be honest.
Sweet, I piss. Thunder won.
Is that good?
Yep. Cavs are up 2. Spurs are down 4. Grit. Guys, I'm real close to winning $322. Let's root for Popovich.
Stop it. Stop it. Get some help.
I need help. My wife. I left my wife. I'm sorry, Chris. I will. Look, I'm sorry.
I want to go to bed before 3, man.
I gotta order more room service.
No, you don't.
Wait, you haven't even gotten your first one.
What? All right, fine, I'll hang up.
Oh, God.
Fuck you.
I ordered it just in time for you to come back and eat it with me. Hey, look, here's nachos.
Am I on
Hi.
Here?
Hello. Hey, hi, Sierra.
I'm drunk. How was that?
She can't hear you say that. Look, we have like 3 minutes left in the podcast.
I'm not being drunk.
Huh?
Are you drunk?
Molly? I don't know. Just here. Here's nachos. Here. All right. All right, bye.